Wednesday night service where we could finish up this series that we've been having on the fruit of the Spirit. And we're at the final fruit tonight. And we want to be looking at this thing of temperance or control, self-control. Boy, I tell you what, this is a hard one to preach, I tell you. You know, it's hard to preach something when you have trouble with it. And you come down here to temperance, self-control. I've been going too many ball games lately. And I have have problems sometimes with that. But it doesn't change the Scripture. It doesn't change the Bible. And it's for our benefit. The Bible says it's given for correction, for reproof, and for instruction. And so tonight it may do all three to us. I don't know. And profitable for doctrine anyway. And these things, the Bible says, Galatians 5 and verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now the word temperance there just means a control that you have. And we'll look at some things tonight on the fruit of the Spirit on self-control. This thing of temperance and having control of our hearts, control of our lives. And many times we're guilty of not having good control. And the Scripture teaches us and trains us that we would work on that and have that active and working in our life. We've looked at all these other things, the love and the joy and the peace. It's not hard to have those. And we've looked at long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. And if we work on it, it's not hard to have that. And then we have faith, we have meekness. And then we come to self-control, come to temperance. And sometimes that is very difficult. We'll be looking at a number of scriptures tonight. The Bible has a lot to say about these different avenues or different areas that we'd have control in. And I want to look at it tonight and just see that the Lord has for us the Word of God that will instruct us in the ways of righteousness for His namesake. You see, everything that we're doing, everything that we have in our life as a Christian, it's not for our betterment, but it's not for our good, but it's for His namesake. It's for His name as far as the world is concerned, and as far as the people that are without, or those on the outside. The things our life ought to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we falter and fail in that, but the Scripture teaches and tells us that these ought to be in our heart and our life, and this thing of temperance. It's almost to look at some three or four different things that we should have control over and that we need to work on in all of our lives and controlling those things that God has given unto us. First of all, I want us to notice our time. You see, we're busy people. I guess in this century we're living, we have more conveniences, we have more things. We have more buttons to push that nobody else has ever had. That it just takes all of our time to keep them going. And we're in a busy society. Everybody's busy. Everybody's doing something. Everybody's going somewhere. And the thing that we must realize is the time that we have right now is all that we have. We don't have yesterday. We don't have tomorrow. We have right now. I wish I'd have thought. Vicky's got a poem back there that she read to her class yesterday. And if I'd have thought before service, I'd have got a copy of that. And it talks about yesterday. We can't do anything about that. And tomorrow's not here. We certainly can't do anything about tomorrow. But we can do something today. And the Scripture tells us this thing of time that we have. We need to review our time. The Bible says in Psalm number 90 and verse number 12, the Scripture says, so teach us to number our days. I believe we need to look at our days, look at our time. Brother Jim was talking this morning. He said, I hope that it was almost comical. He said, I hope to live to be an old man and just go home and go to sleep and die. And he said, I don't want to do it artificially here at the hospital. He said, I want to die at home. And he said, but don't want to do it today. And that's the way all of us are. But we need to review our time. We need to review what God has given. We need to number our days and look at that. Knowing the shortness of life. James says that life is just like a vapor. It appears and then it vanishes away. Another place the Bible says our life is like a weaver's shuttle. It's here and there and it's gone. And so life and time, when compared to all eternity, we're just here for just a breath, just for a moment. And doesn't matter if we live to be 100, it's just for a moment when compared to eternity. And so the days that we have, we need to review that and review our time and number our days. And the Scripture says there in the last part of Psalm 90 and 12, it says, we number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And the only way you're going to get wisdom is to have the fear of God. and have the knowledge of the Scriptures and the knowledge of the Lord. The only way you're going to have that is to have time and to put some time into the study of the Scriptures of the Word of God. I'm not talking about just reading it and getting mileage out of it, but we need to read it and get a message out of it. We need to just meditate upon the things of the Lord and take some time to review those things that God has given us. Knowing the shortness of our life, we adjust our time. And somebody says time just flies, and I'll tell you, if it gets any faster, it will be gone and it'll be over with, and it just keeps continually going on. But we need, as a child of God, we need to have control over our time. We need to have control over that thing that God has given us. Not only do we review our time, but we need to remember the importance of time. Time passes away. It's gone in just a moment. Do you realize? I'm sure you do. That here it is, about 7:38. 7:33, and the moment that I started preaching, that moment's gone, and the moment we were singing those songs a while ago, that's forever gone, and we need to remember the importance of time. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that we'll remember our Creator in the days of our youth. While we're young and while we have those forming thoughts and ideas and in our heart, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There comes a time when we don't have pleasure in youth, and we don't have pleasure in those things. But we are to remember who God is and remember the Creator in the days of our youth, knowing that time is so precious and so important that we are to control over it, to have life with the Lord Jesus Christ, even as a young person. There have been many, many statistics given out on this, but the majority of people, if you talk to them, the majority of people that are saved when they're young. They're saved when they're what we would consider children, and saved even many times before teenage years. And majority of Christians become a child of the King and become a child of God as a young person, remembering the Creator in the days of the youth before the age catches and before things are formed in their heart and life that would blacken and darken their minds and deafen their ears. And so we're to remember how important time is. We play with time, and we kill time, and we throw time away, and we just do so many things with our time, and the time that is so very precious. We are to be using it for the things of the Lord, and again, we're all guilty of wasting and killing and destroying time, but we need to realize how precious time is, because time flees and time goes, and we realize all of a sudden we're growing old. We realize all of a sudden we're not as young as we were, and we need to remember what God's given us and remember the days that God gives us and be thankful for them. I know I've heard Brother Ralph, and you've heard him say every day he thanks the Lord for another day. And that's remembering the time that God gives us, and that's considering the blessing of life that the Lord permits us to live another day, have another 24 hours, and have another day of life, and another week or another month, and we're coming up on the season now. We begin to think about another year. Has just about come and gone, and God's given us that time. God's given us those days, and God's given us all those responsibilities with that, and we are to remember those things that God has so blessed us with. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians, chapter number 4, and verse number 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And then, of course, the verse in Ephesians 5 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So not only are we to review time and to remember what time, how important it is, but we are to redeem it. That means we're to grab all of it. We're to take it. We're to enjoy living and enjoy life. And redeem the time that God has given us. And be wise in our contacts. Be wise in those around us, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there comes a time, as the song says in our songbook, there comes a time when men will work no more. We work now and we labor now. And we're busy now. But there comes a time when men shall work no more. There comes a time when we lay our burdens and we lay our labors down. There's coming a time when there's not going to be any work to do, because God's going to finish it all and God's going to take care of it. As the song we just sang a while ago, that He's coming soon and He's going to be here. And so therefore we are to redeem that time that God gives us, and we control the time over which God has given us. We need to realize the importance of it. It's important to take the time that God gives us. And just like the verse there in Ephesians says, redeeming the time. For we know the days are evil. We know what day we're living in. We, as a child of God, we're not ignorant. Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And therefore, he goes and he explains these days and this time which he was living in, and therefore the days which we're living in are far worse, and greater realities are there, and it's much more blossomed and bloomed in the sin of the world. And so therefore we to redeem the time, realizing how important time is. Because when it's gone, it's gone. It's never to be recalled. You can't do it over. Somebody said, oh, if I just could go back and do it over. We can't do that. If I could just go back and change it, we can't do that. And so we need to realize how important what God gives us is right now, and control it a little bit, and take some control. And the fruit of the Spirit is temperance or control, controlling the time that God has given unto us. Now this next thing that to have to talk about is very difficult. We need to control our temper. Not only our time, but control our temper. Boy, don't we all have trouble with that. Don't y'all look so pious. We all have trouble with that thing called temper. And if we're not careful, it'll control us. If we're not careful, it'll take control over us. And it'll destroy us. And this thing of anger and temper and the old man that comes up, as we've said so many times, the battle is there. If we're not careful, that old man, he'll raise his head. And before long, he's controlling you. And he's controlling your thoughts, controlling your tongue, controlling your actions and everything. And then all of a sudden you realize, man, what have I done? What have I said? What's happened here? I'll tell you what's happened. We've lost control. And we're all guilty of it. We lose control. But God still tells us to work on it. God tells us to deal with that. And the first way you deal with it is to recognize you have it. You see, if a person is an alcoholic and he doesn't realize it or he don't want to admit it, you can't help him. If a person's on drugs and they don't want to admit they have a problem, you cannot help them. And a person that has problems in his life, if he don't want to admit it, then you can't help them. And the Scripture says here that that we have this thing of control. And God says that's a fruit of the Spirit that works in our life. That when the old man raises his ugly head, we're to be able to control that. And the only way you're going to do it was to help the Lord. The only way you're going to do it is with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that lives within us. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 32, the Scripture says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And then it says, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. If a person can rule his spirit, he's better off than a person that rules a city. If a man or a person, a lady, whoever it is, whether it be a young boy or a young girl or a man or a woman, doesn't matter who we are, the Scripture says here, if we're slow to anger, it's better than the mighty. It's better than those that have much might and power. Just to be able to control and this thing of anger and have patience in that. And I tell you, I have problems with both of them. I have problems with patience. I have a problem with the old man raising up. And we all have the same, we're made out of the same stuff. We're made out of the same kind of ground. And the Holy Spirit lives within us. And God tells us that if we would just take time to be slow to anger, then we'd be better than those that have force and have might in their power. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and verse number 9 gives us some practical advice. It tells us here that we're to do certain things. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 9 says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Well, I tell you, read the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes written by Solomon, the wisest of all men. He had some wisdom, had some wise sayings. But those sayings sometimes cut us to heart. Sometimes they bring it open to us. It says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. I've met some people, I think they're just waiting to be able to be mad. I mean, they just seem like just waiting for something to happen so they can get mad. And the Scripture says that's not a good characteristic, that's not a good trait for a child of God. I dare you to say something. I've seen people just dare you to say something and so they could just tell you what they think and tell you off. And that's not a characteristic or a trait of a child of God. We're to have a slowness in that and slowness to anger. And there comes in part of that other part of the fruit of the Spirit of long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and those areas. And so we find there's advice. He says, be careful. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, that if a person's angry with his brother without a cause, that he's waiting for judgment, and God's judgment will be upon him. And so the Bible has a lot to say about this thing of anger or temper. And James chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, we sort of turned that around. We change it a little bit. It says, "Wherefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, swift to speak, and swift to wrath." We just change it a little bit, but it makes a lot of difference, doesn't it? And we find that James gives us some practical things. The New Testament, James is a practical book that every Christian ought to read. The Old Testament, the book Proverbs is a practical book. And Ecclesiastes is a practical book. Just day-to-day living and day-to-day life, how to behave and how to act and how to control some things. And so we should be swift to hear, slow to speak. And sometimes we're slow in hearing and swift in speaking. And I've said a lot of times, I put my mouth in gear before my mind ever gets in gear. And when we do that, we put our foot in our mouth like a while ago. And we do things and say things. And we get ourselves in a problem. But the Bible says we're to have control. We're to have temperance. The fruit of the Spirit is this thing of temperance, of controlling our time and controlling that portion of our bodies, that temper that comes up, and the anger and the strife and the malice. The Bible always has bad things to say about malice and strife and anger. Those things that's left unchecked and uncontrolled, it'll destroy a person. It'll destroy a Christian. It'll destroy a lost person. Unchecked temper has been put a lot of people in prisons. Temper that just goes on a rage and a rampage and no control whatsoever. You see, a lost person doesn't really have any way to control it other than through his humanism and his way of thinking. But you and I, we have the Holy Spirit. You and I have the Spirit of God. We have the Lord Jesus that is here to help us. And He is there to do that if we would permit Him. And so we had to have control or have temperance as the fruit of the Spirit working in our heart and in our life. Have you ever had somebody just say something, all of a sudden, boy, just anger comes up on you? And sometimes it's just immediate. And that's that old person coming and wants to do something and say something. And you want to get even. You want to get back. You want to have all those traits that ought not to be there. We're all guilty of it. And we can all understand what we're saying because we're guilty of that. But the Bible says we had to control that. That verse there says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry." Be not hasty in your spirit. Don't rush at it. And sometimes it's better just to walk away. And sometimes it's better just to get out of the situation for a little bit and think about it. And we all have to experience that. This past Friday night, I just walked out of the building. Rather than make myself a fool, I walked out. And I went outside where it was raining. I cooled off a little bit. And it's hard for somebody to call you a liar and sit there and take it. And I said, well, I'll just walk off and take care of it. And went on, wasn't no problem. But part of that control you got to have. That wasn't what I wanted to do, but I knew that was the best thing to do. That wasn't what I desired to do, but that I knew that'd be the best thing to do. And so we find that the Lord helps us to control things. And that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, control. Against such there is no law. Not only do we control our time, not only do we control our temper, but we'll control our talents. Control what God has given us. Turn, if you would, with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter number 25. Matthew chapter 25. Verse number 15. The Bible says here, verse 14 says, "The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained the other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. For thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many. Enter into thou into the joy of the Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good, faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou to the joy of thy Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there is that is thine. His Lord answered and said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Now here we find the word talent. When we say the word talent, we think of abilities. And we are to use our abilities for the Lord. And we're to control our abilities for the Lord. We're to, if we can sing, we ought to sing. If we can, whatever it is, whatever that God has given us, we ought to use that for the glory of the Lord. But these talents that's spoken of here are goods. It says here that he delivered unto them his goods. He gave one man 5 talents. 5 different things he gave him. He went out and made 5 more. So he had 10. And the Lord said, well done, thou good, faithful servant. The man that had 2, he went out and did the same thing. He got 2 more. Now, of course, the number is different, but the ability is the same. The percentage of increase is the same. From 5 to 10, 2 to 4, it doubled. And the Lord told him the same thing. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You see, God just expects us to use what he gives us. God just expects us to be able to just have that ability or the goods or whatever it is. God just wants us to use what he's given us. He doesn't want us to try something we don't have. And he doesn't want us to get into things that we don't have control. But he wants us to use what he's given us. If we can have the ability to serve the Lord and in certain areas and aspects. You know, some people have a real gift of talking to people that they can just bring them to a point of coming to know Christ. I believe we ought to use that ability that God gives us. And I believe everybody has a certain ability in doing that that's a Christian. I believe we ought to exercise that ability in telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some folks can do different things than others. The Apostle Paul, he sort of relates these abilities to the body. And he says, does the eye say to the hand, you're of no use because you're not the eye, and vice versa. And he uses the different portions of the body. It's all important. We have abilities and we're all important in the work of God. I hate this idea of somebody that's high in the church and somebody low in the church. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I hate the word clergy and laity. That just sort of runs me the wrong way. Clergy, that sounds like you're somebody a little bit better, somebody different than somebody, and laity, somebody way down the line. No, we're Christians. We're children of God, and we are to use the abilities and be a servant of God and use what God gives us and have a reasonable thoughts about us to serve the Lord. God expects us to invest our time, and God expects us to invest our talents and everything in the work of God. And it's no different for you than it is me, and no different for me than it is you. God expects us to do that. God wants us to do it, and we're to control that. And we're to honor the Lord. And if we'll do it, there'll be rewards for those talents. God always rewards faithfulness. If you read your Bible, you'll find that one thing God will reward, and he will reward faithfulness, being faithful. He tells us to be faithful in the house of God. He tells us to be faithful to serve the Lord. And every time you find that, the Lord's always giving rewards for that. And there's rebuke if we're not. There's rebuke if we're not faithful. And he said, all that's required of a steward or a man that keeps control of these things, all that's required of him is that he be found faithful in the things of the Lord. And so we're to control those abilities and control those talents and control those goods that God gives us. And then the last thing I want us to look at tonight on this thing of temperance, and you know you have to get to it. And that's the thing of the, it starts with a T. Can anybody tell me what it is? Anybody know where I'm going? We've had time and talents, and what's the last one? We all use it. We all have one. And James says it's set on fire from hell, as the tongue. Be able to take care of that. Like I said, boy, some of this stuff's hard to hard to get into, isn't it? But we're to control our tongue. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 5. Well, let's go back just to verse number 2. James chapter 3, I'm sorry, verse number 2. says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is perfect, is a perfect man, and also able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Behold also the ship, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." Verse 5, "Even so." Now James gives an example here, gives an illustration. "Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Boy, it'd do us all good to read that every once in a while. That just sort of puts us right where we belong, doesn't it? He gives you the things here that people are offended in. Sometimes folks are offended at everything. And sometimes you can't help that. And he says, "We put bits in horses' mouths, so they'll turn." You have a great ship that's pushed by the wind. It takes just a little helm to turn that ship completely around as the man that's controlling it, as he wants it to be. He says, "Everything of nature has been tamed of mankind." Well, we've seen that. Everything has been able to be tamed. But it says the tongue is unable. It's an unruly member. And the fruit of the Spirit is control. And we need to control. I said we. It includes me. We need to control the things that we say. And many times we can control that if we'll control the things that we think. And so the Scripture says here that the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, there's three or four kinds of tongue here I want us to look at. Well, first of all is this slandering tongue. Just always a sharp tongue can destroy others. The Bible says here that the tongue is a very little member, boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It's not like our hands. It's not like our feet. It's not like our eyes. It's not like our ears. It's not like the members of our body. The tongue can do a world of damage. And it says, and it defileth the whole body. Defileth everything. That word defile means to make dirty. It defiles the whole body. That slandering tongue, and that tongue that just always is cutting and always is just waiting to say something. I've always thought that a person ought to say what they want to say and get it out of the way and say the truth and be honest with it. And the Scripture says here that we be careful with that. The tongue, that it be used rightfully. Well, I'm glad there's not just a slandered tongue and a sharp tongue and those things that hurt and those things that destroy. And I'm glad the Bible talks about a surrendered tongue. I'm glad there is a negative, there's a positive. And to have power, you've got to have both. You've got to have negative and positive. And so we find many times we're guilty. We find many times that that our tongue is set on fire from hell. We find many times we say things that we ought not to say. And before we ever think, it's out of our mouth. And it's there. No thing we can do about that then is go to the Lord and say, "God, help me. God, forgive me. And Lord, help me to understand better next time. Lord, help me to control things." This thing of the fruit of the Spirit, of temperance, control, and being able to do those things under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, under the leadership of God, that He would help us. You know, some people say things in a... I've heard people say things in a jokingly manner, and they really meant it. They made a joke out of it, but you knew they meant it, and a child of God ought not to do that. Ought to just say what's just out front. And so we find that we control that tongue and be able to have that control over it. But that surrendered tongue, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Here the Lord, the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, let bitterness, let wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. That thing of anger, that temper we talked about a while ago. Let it be put away. Evil speaking, let that be put away. Put away from you. And all the malice, let that be gone. There's a surrendered person to the things of the Lord. Put those away, and in place of that, put the fruit of the Spirit. In place of clamoring and malice and strife and envy and anger and evil speaking and words that hurt. Instead of all those things, put some good things, and put some things that ought to be for the child of God. The Bible tells us in James chapter number 1, verse number 26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is empty or vain. If a man seems to be religious, James puts it down pretty good. He said, if he has the form of religion, if he looks good and everything's well, but he doesn't bridle his tongue, if he doesn't control his mouth, if he doesn't control his ways of talking. Now this thing of the tongue is not only just slander. Those things that are ought not to be there, those things we need to control. You hear it and you're around it, and if you're not careful, you'll get involved in it. But a child of God ought to have control over his tongue and his thoughts, that he have a life about him, that he don't just seem to be religious, but that he is a child of God. You see, there's nothing wrong with a good religion. Now, we talk about religion a lot, but the Bible talks about a pure religion. And that pure religion is salvation. That pure religion is right. But here we find that this man that doesn't control himself and doesn't control the things about him and control his tongue, verse 26 there of chapter 1 says, if he seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. That word, vain, is empty. Same as Solomon came up with, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. It's vanity. It's empty. I looked up that word vanity one time and vain, and it has the connotation of just a bubble that's here and gone. There's nothing in it. No substance to it. And that's what religion is without the Lord. Religion, people are religious everywhere. But I'll tell you what, if they don't have the Lord, it's empty. Religious folks go to church. But religious folks are very unhappy when it comes to their soul. Religious folks will sing the songs that we sing, but it's empty to them. They don't have any substance to that. The Bible says here, man that not able to control himself, not able to take care of his speech, his religion is vain. It doesn't help him any. Somebody said the other day, said, just about make you lose your religion. Well, you can lose your religion, but you have problems losing what's real. And I knew what he meant, and I understood that. And I guess it just yesterday a fellow told me that. He said, boy, some things go on, some things. He said, just get you almost to the point you lose your religion. Well, I knew what he meant. I mean, he got angry, and he'd say things, do things he shouldn't do. But this thing of control and religion we can lose, and religion you can put aside. Religion is vain and empty. Boy, that which is real, you can't put it aside. That which is real, it's not empty. It's not vain. It's not to the point it doesn't matter. Religion that's real, pure religion, will help you take care of some of these problems. Religion that's based upon the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation that's based on when you have the Lord in your heart. I'm not saying you're not guilty of these things, and we are guilty. But I tell you what, if our religion is right, if it's a pure religion, then the Lord will speak to our heart, and He'll help us, and He'll instruct us, and He'll guide us. He'll teach us in the ways of the Lord. We'll grow in the grace and knowledge of God. We'll just become a mature adult. We'll just become a Christian that people can look around and say they believe something. They have something that's real. So may God help us as we look at these different things and these verses there in the book of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. May God help us to have them active in our heart and life. I'll be the first to admit I'm guilty. Sometimes they're not active in mine. Sometimes they're not there as they should be, but the Lord says we are to have that. The Lord said, and if He says we are to have it, that means we can have it. That means we can work and we can deal and we can ask the Lord to help us, and He'll give us instruction and help in bringing these things to fruition in our life. The works of the flesh are manifest And he lists all those things, different things, the works of the flesh, the works of this old body. They're manifest, made known in these things. But the fruit of the Spirit is made known in these things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, all those things were manifest, were made known as a child of God when we let those things be active in our life as the fruit of the Spirit. We can have it. We are to desire it. I believe we're to work and say, God, help me to obtain that. And then the Lord will help us do that in our lives as a Christian. Let's stand together tonight. Page 356 tonight. The Lord spoke in your hearts. You know the altars are always open. We can come do business with Him. Let's sing together, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Shall drop, seize my everlasting prize. There's a day coming we're going to drop off this old body. This body we have trouble with. Have trouble with that control, meekness, and love, and peace, and joy. Have trouble with all that. One day those things will pass. We will drop that off. We'll seize our everlasting prize. What's that? That's that new body. That's that new life. That's that new home. That's the heaven God has made for us. Shout while passing through the air. Farewell, farewell. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Never will. I sang this song for years. And one day it dawned on me what that last line said. One day there's coming a time we won't have to pray. One day there's coming a time we will not need it. We have to pray now. We need it now because the Lord's in heaven and we're here. There's a day coming when we're going to be in heaven with the Lord. All things will be well. All the former things of life shall be passed away. Now it'll all be over. When we leave this world, I believe we go out and say, grave, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? We'll say, farewell, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We don't need you anymore. But sweet companion right now, isn't it? Thank God for it. Thank God for prayer. We can go to Him. Let's sing that last stanza, and with this we'll close tonight. Sweet Hour.